I'm speaking with Sophie Hsiao, who is a cellist, I believe a professor of cello in Connecticut.
University of Connecticut, yes.
University of Connecticut. And you began playing the cello when you were just 6 years old.
Yes, in first grade in a Suzuki program in Houston, Texas.
Oh my gosh, that is so amazing because I'm sure you were a very petite young thing. And so there you are trying to carry the cello around.
Yes, fortunately in those times they had soft cases. But you know, because you're short, you have to carry your own chair around if you were, say, going for a performance. Yeah, my elementary school was actually busy. And we did perform on TV. It was really fun.
Oh
so
my God.
there were times where I had to carry my chair around.
And Houston is such a fabulously musical town. So
For
that
sure.
was a great beginning, I'm sure.
Yes, actually, some of my friends from that program are still professional musicians. So
Really?
It's wonderful.
How did you like, as a youngster, the Suzuki program itself? Did you enjoy that? Was it challenging, or did you find that it opened up music for you later on in life?
I think it's really actually a natural way to start. I think we were not following the Suzuki method per se, in that the Suzuki method actually requires a lot of involvement from the parents and is actually starting from a younger age at 3 years old.
Right.
But the method really emphasizes learning how to play before reading notes. And I think that is actually the natural way to do it. It's like we learn how to speak before we can read.
We also hum
So,
before we, you know, we hum and sing tunes before we can read them.
yeah.
Yeah.
So it is a different skill, and it's actually more natural for us to, you know, yeah, as you say, hum and sing before knowing how to dictate or read those notations. So I think it's a wonderful way to start.
So that was your young start there. And then did you just totally fall in love with the way the cello sounded?
I think actually with stringed instruments, it doesn't sound very good for a long time. And especially the small instruments themselves, like it's very cute, but you don't sound like any of the recordings that you listen to. So I think a lot of times with musical learning from the beginning, it's really just a group activity. It's important that you just have fun doing it and like not worry about things.
Okay, so when did that change for you? When did you decide, oh, I'm gonna delve into this a little bit more deeply?
Yeah, I think actually around the age 12, and I've noticed that it's the same for others, that right around that time, like it was a recording of Jacqueline Dupré's Elgar Concerto that just like became my earworm, right? It just stuck with me. And I think it was, you know, teenage hormones and all that emo let it go somewhere in that music. So it
Yeah,
was there.
And especially the way Jackie played those, you know, that there was just so much coming out at you with those, that sound.
Definitely, definitely.
You are also an award winner, I believe, with the Tchaikovsky and the Rostropovich competitions. Doing the whole competition circuit is a very challenging thing to do. How did you feel about that?
It was a goal. It was a great goal to have. And actually, I mean, we're already happening upon my two favorite cellists, which Jacqueline Dupré, and then Rostropovich was my other. So he was there for the Rostropovich competition, and basically like his students were at the Tchaikovsky competition as well. So it definitely felt like, at least, you know, it was hard, but I was also going to the mothership, you know, like I was playing for the people that just kind of influenced me so much. And back then, when I did those competitions, I have to say the media was not as prominent, like it was not being recorded for live stream. So it definitely felt a little bit more like, you know, just ceremonial. But if I didn't play well, it wasn't going to be broadcast to the world. So.
We don't have some kind of horrible clip of you messing up on that F sharp somehow.
Right, right, right.
It didn't have
So,
that kind of pressure.
excellent. Well, that's very nice. But so we're talking about recording. Is this Can Can Macabre your first recording, commercial?
I've recorded the Bach suites, but since everyone has done it, I just let it quietly seep out there. This recording is kind of my first one in that I actually commissioned the piece by Herschel Garfein on this album, and so I'd love for people to hear it. So that was kind of the centerpiece and the showcase for this album. I chose music around it so that it could kind of live with them too.
Well, but it's interesting because obviously Garfine's piece is a commission that you did the layers, and then we have you add the Thomas Addis, which is also truly amazing. But you begin the CD with the Couperin, and so tell me a little bit about that choice.
Thomas Addis was highly influenced by the French Baroque, as well as, Offenbach and French composers more than I think other composers, but so Debussy. So that's one of the reasons that's it's on the program. I also think that right now where classical music has is crossing boundaries, right?
Crossing
And
lines, yeah.
genres. And to some extent, I feel like we always have. But one thing that makes classical music is kind of the lineage. So I think you can really hear Couperin's influence on Thomas Addis in the comparison
Right.
within the CD. It's a different style of values, I think. Couperin actually was kind of a particular man. There's this wonderful story about him teaching lessons to beginners, to young beginners. All these composers had to also have, a way to pay the bills. And so he would teach keyboard, and then he would lock the keyboard when he went away so that they wouldn't undo everything he did in his 45-minute lessons, right after he left. So these pieces are very concise. Each one is meant to kind of show a particular affect. And all the notes are well selected and refined and lovely, just really graceful and lovely. So the set of values that French composers had definitely leaned more towards on the surface, like a more kind of flowing,
Flying, but
enjoyable.
sort of skimming across the surface almost,
Yeah, a pleasure in the sound.
And you have a pianist that is joining you for that grouping there, the pièce en concert. And I would love it if you said that person's name.
Yeva
Yeva Yoku.
Yokubavichute.
Yokuba Vichute. There it is. I can see it now. Vichute. And are you colleagues at the in Connecticut, or did it's just a person that you enjoy playing with?
Unfortunately, no, we're not colleagues, but I played with her, their trio. She had a trio called Trio Cavatina, and their cellist was having a baby. So I got to substitute for their trio. So that's how I got to know her playing wise. In fact, the violinist is coming for a master class today at University of Connecticut, but now she's in the Takash Quartet.
Oh,
So
really? Oh,
yeah, so
wonderful.
all things come in a circle. Yeva is a professor of piano at Duke University.
Okay. And so we have the Couperin, and Yeva joins you for that. And then we have Adrian Kim playing the Debussy. So,
Yes.
Claude Debussy and the cello. It's like, wow, this is just going to be Just a so totally different sound, I think, for if you think of Beethoven and the other sort of cello pieces with the Debussy, it's a whole different
For
aspect.
sure.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. And that is what's remarkable about Debussy. Like, he took sonata form. He wrote a sonata and he put it in traditional sonata form, and then he broke every boundary that it's supposed to be.
Right.
There's a story behind this sonata that he, I think, mentioned once and retracted, that it's based on Pierre Lunaire, a famous, like, character for mimes in that
Right.
period.
Right.
And, like, basically, he rouses himself with a start, is the first movement, and then that movement ends with him, like, finally, up.
Right.
And the second movement is joined with the third, is called Serenade, and he, Serenade, if you want to
Or
be more
serenade,
French,
yes.
but he's serenading the moon. So, he has these, like, kind of propositions to the moon, and of course the moon appears to be interested. But the third movement is a song of liberty, when the final rejection happens and he's like, whatever. So it's an exuberant, fun piece, and it definitely is highly spirited. And yeah, it's incredible what he does with, like, a tiny 12 movement, 12 minute
Yeah.
sonata.
Yeah, the journey is pretty awesome. And then we have the Herschel Garfein piece, and it's called The Layers. And the titles of each of the movements, Scavenger Angels, When the Moon Was Covered, and Every Stone on the Road. I noticed that Herschel not only composes music, but he also is a librettist. So did you and he discuss the subject matter, or how did you come upon these titles and what the music is created, how the music is created from that?
Well, he was given a lot of, well, just a kind of general idea. I love the Debussy Sonata, so I asked him if he could maybe conceive a piece that could be paired with the Debussy Sonata. And I think the moon was the
Yeah.
only thing that came from that pairing. But he had been writing songs from poets, and he chose the poem by Stanley Kunitz called The Layers.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a poem where the poet is looking back at a long life lived, and kind of with a heavy heart, like, seeing what, like, because of the things that he's loved, also what he's lost, because those have scattered. So yeah, so he chose kind of key moments in the poem, key phrases, scavenger angels, because of the dichotomy, the tension between scavenger and angels. And so the two themes in the first movement reflect that. And then the second movement, When the Moon Was Covered, the poet is speaking through a nimbus cloud, so you can kind of imagine something
Can feel
hazy.
that. I mean, with the way the music is sort of the piano, and I mean, it's very Debussy in its depiction.
Yeah, and it's harmonic flow. Yeah,
Right. Whereas
kind of
the other two
unpredictability.
scavenger angels, definitely the scavengers are here and the angels are here, and we're every once in a while crossing back and forth.
Right. And the third movement is a klezmer tune. So, yeah, even though the music for klezmer is played on life's happiest occasions, it definitely, the inflection of the tonality has sadness in it. So, yeah, this is definitely a juxtaposition. Yeah, I love Herschel's relationship to word. And I think that actually gives people a grasp, more of a tangible grasp to what his music is saying. His mother was a famous movie actress, Carole Baker.
Really? Oh.
So he grew up kind of, knowing
In
a lot
that.
about
Oh,
acting, yeah,
yes.
visual world.
How did you two meet, or did you just contact him? How did that form?
So part of my life was freelancing in New York City, and so I was available to be hired by this Five Boroughs Music Festival, five boroughs after the five boroughs of New York City. So they were celebrating having commissioned works from all these five boroughs of the New York area, and I played Herschel Garfein's Cyclone, which was with soprano and piano and cello, and I really loved his piece. I also got to play a piece by Jesse Montgomery, who just
Really?
won a
Oh,
Grammy, and
yeah,
so it
she did.
was. Yeah, so it's for me, it's a wonderful way to get to know people's music. And so Jessie actually told me that she needed a lot of time before the commission. So the person who was helping me commission the piece said, "I'd love to have a piece earlier than that." So I asked Herschel, and I'm really grateful for this piece. On
Right.
Spotify, we've already in the second movement has had we've recorded this twice, and the second movement has had over 100,000 streams. So,
Wow. Well, the second movement is really beautiful. I mean, it's a stunning piece. I like the other movements too, but that it stands out on its own.
I'm glad you think so.
And then we move to Thomas Addis with the Lieux retrouvés and Les Eaux, La Montagne, Les Champs, Le Vieux, and the Can-Can Macabre. Wow. I mean, it's just like let's just go from this amazing music to, oh, let's go a little bit further.
It's definitely wild. I mean, that last movement is wild. I just want to compliment you on your pronunciation.
Thank you. Thank you. So choosing that, once again, the Addis goes back to the Couperin and the French style. But I love how, first of all, I love your notes and how you explain how the music works so that it gives it more layers when you're listening to it. Brava, it's really great.
Actually, my musicologist colleague at UConn wrote those notes,
Oh,
so
great. Okay.
thank you. I'm glad I asked him to do it.
Yeah, no, he did a wonderful job. And so you have the
I'll let him
Addis.
know.
And then you have Ieva returns for the beautiful Chopin, the cello sonata in G minor, the Largo. Oh my, what like a perfect way to end the program. This is so beautifully planned out, this CD.
Thank you so much. We actually recorded the whole thing, but we couldn't fit it on the CD. So I just want to point out, though, that the French theme is still there because Chopin wrote it for his friend, a Parisian cellist and composer, Auguste Franchomme.
Oh, well, yes, of course.
So, yeah, even though Chopin himself is Polish, there's a French connection there. So,
Well, didn't he kind of loved all things French, I believe.
yes, it was also a center of music
Music at
and
that point, right?
art. Yeah.
I think I was reading that you have a cello that was at one point Pablo Casals' cello, so we must
Yes.
talk about that.
So the recording was recorded on that cello. And yeah, my cello teacher was friends, well, actually studied with Casals, but I think through teaching at the Manhattan School of Music, also knew Marta Istomin, who is his who was married to Casals. And he knew about her wanting to sell this cello, so I got in touch with her. I tried the cello and it had gut strings on it at the time. It's like the last owner was the two of them. And I think to some extent it was also her cello. But he kept it in Puerto Rico. He kept one in Europe and he kept one in the States area. And yeah, I feel like it did sound more like him when I first got the instrument, and it's
Right,
kind of
right.
changed towards me. Yeah, they reflect their owner, I think, the way they've been vibrated.
I think they do. I think absolutely. So, do you have many students at Connecticut?
We do have a good number of students. I'm happy to have more. We're always recruiting. Yeah, but I not only teach studio cello, but I teach chamber music and I teach a class called Introduction to String Techniques for Music Educators. So I teach them kind of how to play those instruments, the violin, viola, cello, and bass, in one semester.
Oh
Just
dear.
yeah, but they have a lot of fun and I just adore their comments. Because they're moving from being singers or percussionists or brass players, wind players to like, getting a stringed instrument. So it's a really new perspective. And I do make them tell me about winds and brass because I know very little about them too.
Well, if they're doing music education, you have to sort of know it all.
My most recent hilarious comment was, I made them submit practice videos. And he's like, if there were ever a family of instruments to give you physical problems down the road, it's the string family. I was like, you are right. And that is why we're working on tension release.
Tension release.
Yes, exactly. How to do things with the most minimal effort.
Oh, interesting. Very, I've always been fascinated by this. I'm a soprano myself, so I'm
Oh,
fascinated by
wonderful.
stringed instruments. And I did not know that how to make a sound with the not a lot of tension. Interesting.
Well, like strength and flexibility is the name of the game. But what's really great is like that is how your body works anyway. So that could go along with the rest of your life. It gives you good discipline for maintaining that in your daily life.
And so, any plans for the next CD at this point, or just maybe thoughts in your brain at this right?
There is something already recorded that I need to get to editing on Beethoven. And
Ooh.
so the polar opposite Beethoven and some music of composers of color.
So, any chamber music? So, more than two players, any works like that, or
Well, I've been mainly at the University of Connecticut. I'm about to get tenure, hopefully. So it's kind of restricted my ability to travel
I
as
see.
much. And so I've been doing more projects. And also COVID restricted our ability to play big groups together. So they have been more small group oriented, but hopefully soon I'll be able
Well,
to
I
get.
hope so too. What a delight to speak with you, Sophie. It's
Thank you, Anna.
been quite wonderful, and I wish you the best. I hope the tenure comes through and all that
Thank you.
good
Thank you so much.
stuff. All right.